Welcome to the program. To Mayor Glenn Robertson, post the city council meeting last evening, and sorry that we had to push you back a little bit. We didn't realize that Todd Perry had to be at school at 7:45.
You know, I'm going to tell you what, we've got to put educators in front of me. His job's more important than mine.
Well, we appreciate your flexibility. All right, so how was the meeting last night? Well, first of all, let me say this. You know, I mean, a week ago, you guys canceled the city council meeting, and we got all this other stuff going on, and I'm thinking, like, sissies?
Well, you know,
everybody was canceling things.
If you looked at the forecast and you realize that our meetings go till about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, typically.
Okay.
We've got 30, 40 staff members, 40, 50 people from the citizens. You know, we've got 60 to 70 people there, and we're asking people to stay off the streets. We've got to lead by example.
Objection withdrawn. Your witness.
Yeah. That was Tom's complaint, by the way. I had nothing to do with that statement.
You know, if the forecast had came true, we would have been heroes. Hindsight's always 20/20.
I know. That's true. All right. So let's talk about the Timothy Cole Memorial Park.
You know what happened there is we voted back last summer to agree to allow private money. Like I say, no city monies were going to be spent, but to let private investors donors, mm-hmm. Build a memorial to Mr. Cole and put it on this city property. And there was a posting problem where we were able to authorize the sculptor to go ahead and authorize it to be placed on the property. But since we misposted the vote on dedicating this as a park, we had to go back and redo it about 9 months later. So that's what we did last night. We fixed a previous error. It's done, and that will be dedicated as the Tim Memorial Memorial Park, Tim Cole Memorial Park.
Okay. Now, for anybody who is unaware of this, Timothy Cole was incarcerated for rape and was later exonerated, but he was
a Texas Tech student.
Yeah, he was
at
a Texas Tech student, mm-hmm. and
this happened back in 1986.
Right. He passed while he was incarcerated.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And then he was exonerated and pardoned, I guess, posthumously post mm-hmm. the.
Yeah, you know, later on DNA proved that he was innocent, and it's one of those things where a lot of mistakes were made by a lot of people. And, you know, I wish we had had some involvement with county and some other folks, because this just isn't a city of Lubbock situation. But the bottom line is we're now going to have a Tim Cole Memorial Park. It's one of those things that I think it's really going to help his family. His mother passed away a couple of weeks ago. And this was one of the things that she had really been hoping for. So, you know, it really didn't cost us anything as a city to do this. But it's a way of not saying we're sorry, but it's a way of saying, you know what, we need to remember these type of mistakes so that we don't repeat them.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, this man spent 13 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit.
And died in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sad. I just can't imagine that. Hey, what type of discussion took place relative to this? I mean, was everybody on board with this? I mean, it was just pretty much it just sailed through there, didn't it?
You know, I'll tell you, I had and still have just a few problems with it. I mean, it's a done deal, and I knew it was going to pass. I would have preferred just to call it Memorial Park and use it to maybe in the future memorialize other people and not one individual, but knew that I was probably the lone individual. And so, you know, we are really making an effort right now as a council, and the entire council, all seven of us, are making an effort to really try to work together, put a lot of past behind us. And so on issues like this where, you know, probably in the past I would have went ahead and voted no and might not even discussed it. But in this case, I knew my vote wasn't going to change it. I really didn't want any hard feelings over a vote that, quite frankly, wasn't going to matter. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to go ahead and vote for this, even though I had just a few concerns. But the big picture is more important, and that is this council has to come together, and we've got to start changing the way we work together. And we've made a lot of progress there. We've been doing this. It's about 2 months that things really have kind of been changing. And so I'm trying to be very careful not to do anything to stop the progress or create any hard feelings for something that really wasn't going to change anything anyhow.
Right, I get it. So I guess it was a unanimous vote then.
Yes, it was.
Now, you know, unfortunately, Glenn, I wasn't able to watch Channel 2 last night because I was at a church function doing the drive-thru at FCN.
Ah. And so, they didn't have it on the big screen?
No, it was a little disappointing.
Have a role in this?
Yeah.
Tell us your character. Go ahead. You're going to like this.
Okay. My wife said that I was typecast as pilot. Shut up. Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
You know, judgmental nature doesn't come into play here.
Turn his microphone off.
I'm biting through my tongue.
Pontius Pilate.
Okay.
Oh, well, we'll have more with our interview with Mayor Glenn Robertson coming up.
729. KFYO 739. Good morning. 42 miles of city streets were taken back from the state of Texas. Now, all these things were considered to be thoroughfares that were connecting state routes. Is that what the deal is?
Yes. You know, if you look at it, Avenue Q used to be the road that if you were going from north to south or vice versa that you used to get through the city limits of Lubbock. And so it was considered still a state highway. Well, if you look at Avenue Q now, since we've got the interstate, it's only used for local traffic. And so it's one of those situations that the state, in trying to save money, is wanting to hand these streets back over to cities.
Are they handing them? Are they? I know they want to hand them back over. Are they asking the cities to take them, or are they just, cutting the meat and letting it fall on the city's plate?
Well, 6 months ago, they told us it was going to happen. They were going to just hand it to us, and they would be ours in September. Public outcry from all the cities across the state, over 50,000 populations, which are the ones that are affected, had them kind of revamp the program. They're saying now that the first year it's a voluntary program, come in, sit down with us, and try to negotiate with us to make this work. So I felt like as mayor, my job was to sit down and negotiate the best deal we could get for the citizens of Lubbock and be the first city that gets to the trough to make this deal work. And that's what we did. I think we've got a very good proposal on the table, and I think if we get this passed, I think we'll end up getting the best deal of any city in the state.
Just because we are being proactive and not trying to take the exemption for that first year?
Correct.
Okay. What are the differences in realistically in the proposal? What do you think we gain? How did the proposal differ than what you think you could have gotten if we would not have been the first?
Well, I think what's going to happen if you continue to fight the state, you're going to have them dumped in your lap in present condition and no compensation for future maintenance. What we are getting, if we pass this, is the 42.5 miles in good condition. They're going to go ahead and spend $325 million getting all these roads to standards. Then they're also going to agree to pay us for the first year's maintenance at 100%, second year at 80%, get us down to where over a five-year period we've got the maintenance. Now, it's a trade-out to where they're going to give us that amount of maintenance that they'll do on any roads that we'd like for them to use, because if we get these in good repair, we don't have to really work on them for 10 years. What we get out of the deal is we get total local control. We get to determine where the curb cuts are, what are the speed limits, the things that before always had to go back to TxDOT. So there's trade-offs. My viewpoint is 5 years from now, this is going to happen throughout the state.
Well, it kind of sounds like to me that this is like taking the resources that would have been allocated for a full year and kind of amortizing those out and getting a little bit more because you're coming up with a plan as opposed to. So it's not like, I mean, the state's giving us and helping us, but because we're proactive, we have a little bit more say-so on how these
Correct.
Resources are applied.
Exactly.
So it's just really more of an organizational thing that is in our favor.
You know, long term, it's still not a great deal for Lubbock that we have to take these over. No, nobody can say that. But mm-hmm. since it's, in my opinion, going to be an eventuality, they're going to hand us these roads. I think it's in our best interest to negotiate the best possible deal we can for the city.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. What do you think, Laura?
I do.
Okay.
It's going to happen anyway. So.
Exactly.
7:43. KFYO 747, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of our fair city, Glenn Robertson. Yes, he did survive the city council meeting last night, and actually, you probably had your PJs on by 8:30.
Well, you know, I tell you, but I typically got about 30 minutes after the meeting dealing with media and in other situations, but I was home before 9 o'clock, and that's unusual, but I was grateful to be home before 9.
Well, you know, you were telling me you guys got out of there right about 8 o'clock, and that just doesn't happen.
You know, it doesn't. Of course, we only had 3 items on the regular agenda last night. We had a lot of items in consent agenda. Which is typical this time of year. We start getting into December between the holidays. There's not as much going on. We'll kind of pick back up in being busy in January, but this has been a pretty good break.
Okay. All right, Laura, let's, I guess, dive into the inevitable, the minutia pool of
LPNL and Texas Tech.
You know, that there's been a lot of reporting on what's going on in to wrap it up as concisely as I can, Texas Tech has a purchase power agreement with LPNL. They have also in the past had an advertising agreement with LPNL. I think back when LPNL started the original advertising with them, it was probably a good idea because they were in a competitive situation. Texas Tech is the largest customer of LPNL, so they're a very important customer, as all customers are. But in this case, I questioned whether or not LPNL should be advertising. I still don't think they should. I think it is a waste of ratepayer and taxpayer money for LPNL to advertise. So there was a lot of concerns about it being tied to the purchase power agreement. What are we going to do? I have been meeting with Chancellor Hantz for about a week now. We've been talking on the phone very regular. We talked on the phone probably 3 times yesterday. Where we're at now is we have the EUB, the council, and Chancellor Hantz, and we think the Board of Regents pretty much all on the same page. We need to come up with an alternative to the advertising. We need to do something. But if we're going to spend taxpayer or ratepayer money, we need to be able to show that there's going to be some sort of return on investment.
And I'm right there with you on that. When this first came out and we had all of these members that were not re-upped on the EUB and we got all these new board members, I think a lot of people were thinking, ah, breath of fresh air, and we were going to, you know, get, you know, some new representation. Then they come in and they vote on this deal, and it just kind of seems like they stepped in it again. And I don't recall the board member that made this statement that was published, but said that it's just a small part of the big picture, so it's just part of a good deal.
Well, and the problem, and I'm going to defend the ones, even though I was on the opposite side of them, I will defend the board members that voted for the advertising agreement because it is and always has been kind of tied to the purchase power agreement, even though it shouldn't be. And there's a lot of things that they could not talk about to justify their vote because that purchase power agreement has a confidentiality clause in it. So their hands are really tied. And so we're to a point now where what we're trying to do is find another option that will solve these problems that we can do out front in front of the public.
Okay. I have a question, Laura, on this.
Mm-hmm.
Did that when he just said that and it just struck me, it was like, why would you have a confidentiality agreement when you have a contract with the municipality that has been advertised mm-hmm. and marketed as the home-owned utility for so many years?
Well, understand this contract was signed 10 years ago. and LPNL was in an extremely competitive situation with Excel. And both of those companies wanted Tech's business because Tech is the largest user of electricity in town. So that PPA was done and that confidentiality was put in when they were in competitive situation.
Okay. We'll be back more on LPNL, the purchase power purchase agreement, 751. Good morning. News Talk 790, KFYO 757. Lubbock's First News hosting Glenn Robertson after the city council meeting. Here's Laura Mack.
We were talking about the Tech and LPNL right. advertising agreement. And now entities involved right. are going to be talking about other ways to spend that money
correct.
As a possibility. Has anybody offered any ideas?
One thing we're looking at, we don't have details yet, is there's a program at Tech called LEADS where they go throughout the state and bring in the top two leaders from high schools across the state. They've been bringing in 50, and their success rate is about 65% of the ones they bring in, they enroll.
When you say success rate?
Yeah, the of those students, they bring the Tech, they show them Lubbock, they show them Tech for about 4 or 5 days. 65 to 70% of them go ahead and enroll and come to Lubbock.
Oh, okay, I get it, okay.
So Tech has been wanting to increase that program and has been asking the city of Lubbock to participate. I'm proposing that we look at it and see if there's any way we can take that advertising money, help fund that program to bring more students to Lubbock, because each student will spend about $20,000 a year in Lubbock. So we get a tremendous tax benefit. It helps Tech. It helps the city. It helps the citizens because they're contributing to the tax rate. So we've got a lot of details to work through. But we're looking at options like that and any others that we can find because we want to be good partners with Tech. We want to work with Tech. Tech wants to work with the city of Lubbock. The chancellor has made that very clear. So we're all at the table trying to make sure that we're going in the same direction. And whatever we do, we want it to be good for Tech, good for Lubbock, and good for the taxpayers.
Sounds good.
It's not a bad idea. You know, get them on the tax base anyway,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
True economic development. I mean, if you're helping Tech bring students to Lubbock, that is just economic development at its purest form.
Right. Yeah, because they come here, a lot of people are going to stay here. I came here in 1980. I didn't think I was going to be here long.
I know.
So we can blame Tech on you?
Yes.
Both of us.
Pretty much. Turn his microphone off immediately.
Tech's like, I had nothing to do with either of these people.
Yeah, Kent will be calling me after this show.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me tell you something. I've got a diploma that says Texas Tech University, so there.
Come and take it.
Come and take it. That's right.
You know, two things that, you know, Reese Air Force Base back in the day brought a lot of people to Lubbock. But mm-hmm. now, Texas Tech is our largest economic engine.
Right.
They are the best thing we've got going in Lubbock. Everything else we've got feeds off Tech. We need to work together.
Now, when we were talking about my diploma, Laura, were you suggesting that I keep my wallet size photocopy of that concealed carry and not yeah. wear that on my sleeve?
Hey, they gave us those pieces of paper. We earned those.
Yeah, you know how much I paid for that?
That's
not
right.
Not as much as they did today. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Hey, Glenn, thanks for being with us this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.